I'm Nina from Oklahoma. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge from KFUO Radio.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's a party plan episode. We are planning a party for you. And this episode is dropping this year on 2025 on Reformation. But we are not planning, we're planning an All Saints party for you. But this is not going to be a typical All Saints party. And you'll figure out why very quickly. So if you're like, oh, All Saints party, what are we doing? Like stuff about saints. Stay tuned. Rachel, <Yes. laughs> what are we doing?
Okay, so we ran into this problem. We wanted to do an All Saints party, but a lot of what our usual party planning episodes involve are things like hymns and trivia and such. And we've already done an All Saints trivia challenge and an All Saints hymn sing. So we had to dig deep for this one, but we realized that this is a time of year when everybody is looking for innovative party ideas. Because in the Christian world, you have a number of people who really love Halloween. You know, let's do trunk or treating, let's do Halloween parties, whatever. And then you have a lot of people who are not comfortable with Halloween. As we found out our very first fall on this podcast.
Episode number four,
when we set the internet on fire. A big question about Halloween. We're not going to take a stand on that today.
No.
What we are going to do is simply acknowledge the tension, acknowledge the controversy, and acknowledge, too, that you have options here.
Yes, you do.
That's true.
Because Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, is nothing more than the eve of All Saints' Day.
Yep.
It is also, thanks to Martin Luther's exquisite timing, Reformation Day.
Yep.
And so there are lots of reasons and ways to get together with friends and even dress up in costumes and celebrate the season around Halloween without going all spooky, scary skeletons if you don't want to or if some of your acquaintance would not be comfortable with that. We've done Reformation Day parties in our family where we got together and ate buckets of candy and watched the Luther movie.
Yeah,
that was really fun. But what we're proposing today is something that is modeled most closely on a party I went to when my husband was at Concordia Seminary, Fort Wayne. And I don't know if they still do this kind of party there, but when we were there, they had a Reformation Day-ish shindig, massive shindig, that everyone was encouraged to come dressed as your favorite saint, heretic, or reformer. I think that was what it was. Definitely saints and reformers.
Yep.
There might have been sinners. It might have been saints, sinners, and reformers. Saint. Anyway, we're going for this party with this Reformation All Saints mashup of saints, heretics, and reformers. That is the theme of this party.
Yes.
Because Martin Luther was actually all three.
True.
Oh man.
And so I think that definitely fits. But reimagining this party less around macabre themes of death and sorcery and more around actually celebrating the saints of God is, I think, a really, really fun way to go with this. So,
yeah.
Where are we starting with our party plan?
I mean, you got to have a costume if you're going to a party, right?
You sure do.
You sure do.
Yeah.
So we have all brought some costume ideas to the table. It is unsurprising that I have chosen two hymn writer options for you. Very on brand. One of whom, on the day that this podcast drops, I will be going to a Reformation party dressed as Elizabeth Krusiger.
Because
horrible.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's the first Lutheran lady hymn writer. I love her hymn 402, The Only Son from Heaven. My brain blanked there for a hot second.
It's short glitch, but
it's Friday. So I, for my costume for Elizabeth Kreuziger, I totally just bought a Ren Faire dress on Amazon. Mm-hmm. So because Reformation era, it's pretty easy to find a dress that is warm because it's the end of October. Unless, although in St. Louis, I don't know, it might still be 80. I don't know. Also stylistically appropriate for Reformation era, some mostly modest because not all Halloween costumes are modest. Mm-hmm. So I wanted something I'd be comfortable in, but also mostly looked like somebody out of Reformation era.
Sure.
I will probably also be carrying
What are you adding to it?
I will either just carry a hymnal because that would make it really obvious, or I'm going to carry like a pad of paper and a pen and just be like writing down lyrics to hymns or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So those are my ideas for props for that one. All of you more creative people than me might have better ideas, but that's my plan for Elizabeth Kreuziger.
Nice.
My second option is a far more recent sainted hymn writer, Amanda Husberg. How fun would it be to go dressed as Amanda Husberg? Now, granted, I don't know what her style was. Some of our listeners probably might know better than me. But, like, she was a pretty normal person. So, like,
when did she live again?
She just died a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so very recent.
Okay.
But my whole inspiration behind this is that not only was she a church musician and she wrote hymn tunes, but she also was a very analog hobby person. Mm. So like carrying a craft bag because she sewed stuff. She loved color. She loved art. So if you want to just kind of go as a semi-normally dressed person, but also go as somebody, you can have a hymnal. You could even have like a laptop because I'm sure she used computer programming
to make sure you wear some like organ shoes or something that looks like organ shoes.
Organ shoes. Mm-hmm. You can like mock up some pyramid drawings and put those in your craft bag. Like you've got a lot of options for analog hobby bags you can carry with you to go as Amanda Husberg.
You could carry around like a little Bluetooth speaker and playing
totally
her tunes.
Could. Yes, because she is a modern person. So take advantage of all of the technology available to you to dress up as Amanda Husberg. Yeah, I might actually go as her next year.
you fleshed it all out. So
she might be my inspiration next year. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So those are my two costume options for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have only one because I originally had a weak second one, but I got a preview and learned that Rachel had given a far better version of my very weak attempt at a second costume. So I'm not going to even go there. I'm going to give you just one. And
I'm sure it's excellent.
It is this. You're going to dress up as a goose. Okay. You're going to wear, there's some options, okay? You could make yourself like add to a sweatshirt so that you have some wings.
Yes.
Okay, like a gray sweatshirt and wear like a turtleneck with it. You know how geese have that sort of black neck?
Yes.
So that would be one option. You could also probably get on Amazon some sort of like a roasted turkey costume, like full body suit that looks like a turkey.
Yes.
That would be another solid option because, no, you just tell people, no, I'm not a turkey. I'm a goose.
I'm a goose.
Okay. And here's why you're going to be a goose. Okay. Because you are going as I guess he is sort of like a pre-reformer, but we'll call him a saint. I mean, he definitely counts as a saint, but he was 100 years before Martin Luther. He was a Czech reformer. He lived in the Czech Republic.
Yep.
It was probably not called the Czech Republic then. But anyway, his last name, his name is Jan. I think it's Jan.
Hus.
And Hus, H-U-S, is the word for goose in Czech.
I love this so much.
This is fantastic.
It's probably a little bit apocryphal, but anyway, there's a very clever saying that goes with his death, okay? Because he was executed because he was a reformer or tried to be a reformer that it didn't take at that time. But before his death, before his execution, he is said to have declared, you may kill a weak goose, but more powerful birds will come after me. And then in 1546, during the funeral sermon for Luther, so like more than 100 years later, Johannes Bugenhagen.
Oh, that's a good costume.
Yeah, absolutely. he embellished Hus's declaration, and he said, "You may burn a goose, but in 100 years will come a swan. You will not to burn." So you could, if you had a buddy, you could one of you could be a goose and the other could be a swan, and you could be Hus and Luther. I don't know how to say his name, but anyway, that's the concept. You're going to dress up as a bird.
It's a couple costume.
It's awesome. A swan and a goose. And the twist is that the swan is Luther. So it would be a lot of fun. That's my costume idea.
It's perfect
for this.
I think that's fantastic.
It's so
you
good.
Gave us two. You gave us two costumes.
I mean, that was spur of the moment, but it would work.
It'd be perfect. Yeah.
A couple costume. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, so I tried to think of reformers, but they all sort of dress the same.
They do. Mm-hmm.
You can put a beard on on a Renaissance costume and call yourself Junker Georg.
Yep, you could be anybody.
You could be literally anybody.
But they mostly they all look the same. And as far as heretics, I didn't really want to dress up as a heretic. So both of mine are saints, but they're on the opposite ends of sainthood. One of them is very old, and I thought of this one because I always have one child who's trying to push the envelope.
Right.
My mom only wants me to wear a wholesome costume, but what really is wholesome anyway?
Right.
And so here is your slightly edgier, going closer into the macabre kind of costume, but still very saintly, and that would be Saint Lucy. One of the legends abounding around her is that she was tortured by having her eyes gouged out.
Yeah.
In another version, she took out her own eyes in order to discourage a persistent suitor who admired them. Mm. But it was, of course, later discovered that her eyes were miraculously restored. You'll remember this all from our St. Lucy's Day episode.
Yeah.
Right. Which daughter, by the way? Hang on. Which daughter?
It changes.
They all have wanted to do this one. Okay.
It's like you go through this edgy phase.
That's true.
And then a couple years later, you're back to wanting to dress like a princess all the time.
It's true. Yep.
Or a goose. Carry on. Keep on.
Okay, here's how you do the St. Lucy costume. It's really simple. You just need a bed sheet and a plate. Because with the bed sheet and some safety pins, you're going to fashion yourself a white toga because she was from the Roman era. You're going to have a plate. And then on that plate, you're going to put two gummy eyeballs.
Yes.
Which are always available at this time of year.
Heck, you're right.
And you're going to be St. Lucy.
That's amazing.
I love a low effort costume.
Yes.
It has to be cheap and easy if I'm going to be happy with it.
Yep.
So there's your St. Lucy costume. My other idea, and this is a very Lutheran idea, actually, because even though we as Lutherans celebrate the saints, as Pastor Whedon reminded us in our episode this summer, but we celebrate all the saints, not just the ones that have been formally canonized, but those who have died in the Lord are saints. And so my other costume idea is to choose a sainted role model and go as that person. In my case, Saint Grandma.
I love this idea.
Yeah. Well, I'm blessed in that I inherited some of the dresses that my grandmother made for herself during her lifetime because she sewed all her own clothes, and I had asked for some of them. And so I have three or four. So it's really easy. Just pull a dress out of the closet and, you know, do my hair up just the way she used to do it and put on some sensible shoes and pick up a pair of knitting needles and I can be Saint Grandma.
That's amazing.
If there are grandparents or, you know, older brothers and sisters in the church whom you have very much admired, for their faith, for their works, you know, offer a tribute to them by dressing up as one of them for your All Saints party. It's a wonderful testimony to God's grace in our lives. So those are my two costume ideas, St. Lucy and St. Grandma.
That's amazing. The sweater that I wear at the office when I'm cold and don't have a sweater that I brought from home, I call it my grandma sweater.
Yeah.
Because it was my grandma's.
Oh, man. Yeah. And the love lives on.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got our costume ideas.
We got costumes.
We're all dressed as saints and reformers.
Wildly different costume ideas, too, which is excellent.
Oh, yeah. No, you don't want to show up at the party in the same costume as anybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. This is so good. Yeah, now we need the vibes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sarah, you're the queen of the vibes.
Okay. The queen of the vibes.
Let's have them.
Okay, so we got to set the mood, right? So I was inspired by a disc of 1500s music. So music from 1550.
Nice.
I love.
Of course you have this.
On disc, no less.
I mean, it's on Spotify, but it is an album. As I was brainstorming how to like set the mood with music and decorations. And so I was inspired to create a companion Spotify playlist.
Oh,
if you would like a playlist that kind of encompasses the entire idea of saints, heretics, and reformers, this music mirrors those three concepts. And it's like, how long did it's like a 4-hour playlist. It is plenty long enough for your party, so you don't have to worry about running out of music. It's so long.
You got really inspired.
I got super inspired. I was very late to work one morning because I was just putting a ton of music into this playlist, and I told my boss that. I was working, I promise, creating a Spotify playlist for a podcast episode.
Amazing.
Yes. So
okay, give us a taste.
For the saints music, it's heavenly music.
Yeah.
Like Allegri's Miserere, Elgar's Nimrod Lux Aeterna, Talus, of course, Onata Lux, some other ethereal music from Ola Gelo, who, if you haven't listened to that music, is amazing.
And I haven't, so I will.
Oh, it's so good. He's a modern composer, but very popular. A lot. Voces VIII has done a lot of his music, so very heavenly ethereal vibes. I was gonna go for like old chant kind of stuff, but that wasn't really working for me, so we've just got very beautiful choral music in there.
Yeah.
And then for reformers, this was the real inspiration for the playlist. So some of my favorite music from Tilman Susato, who is a Danish composer. He lived 1510 to 1570, so like smack in the middle of the Reformation. It's perfect. I don't know how to pronounce this. I've never said it out loud in a public place. Denserie, might be right.
No idea.
Magical Renaissance music. It's all like dance kind of music. So you could actually run some dances to this if you really wanted to. Like the name, there's
like social dancing.
Yeah, there's like names of rondo in the titles of things. They're all really short. So very accessible, very Renaissance with like period instruments. It is amazing. I rock out to it somewhat regularly. Very on brand. So this is definitely a real vibe of like Reformation era music. There's also, I was like, there's no Lutheran music in this. So I did add some Lutheran hymns to this also. So there is some Lutheran vibes in there also. I felt a little weird not having anything church music-y in the Reformation part of it. So there's a little bit of extra in there too. And then for the heretics, this is balancing out the heavenly vibes. We've got the spooky classical for the heretics.
Okay.
So we've got Mussorgsky's Pictures at an Exhibition and Night on Bald Mountain. Wagner's Valkyrie, Bach Toccata and Fugue, obviously. Verdi's Dies Irae from his Requiem and Karl Orff's O Fortuna. So
much drama.
Okay. Very dramatic vibes here. So that's your ambience. We'll put that link to the Spotify playlist in the show.
I should point out, if you like this background music playlist is wonderful. If you want something like much, much more modern, I hear Flames' new album is just out this week.
Oh, that's true. Flames' music would be great for this too.
Check that out. Neo Ethos. I've just started listening to it.
Ooh, that would
Yeah.
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 Talk about vibes.
That definitely vibes. All right. So you've got your background music going on, or maybe not so background if you really just love blasting music. That's fine too. So then we've got decorations, and this was challenging. It's like, how do you bring these themes together to decorate for a party? So I've got a couple of ideas. I would say that red is a really great theme color in general. Solid. You've got red is the color for Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
Red represents the blood of the martyrs. So whenever we have a saint day in church, it's typically, if they're a martyr, it's red. And also fire for heretics, because they were often burned at the stake. So you've got
solid option. Yes.
It's a little morbid. Mm-hmm.
So we're saints. Saints were also.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, saints were also frequently burned at the stake. So you've got a lot of red going on. There's a lot you can do with red. It's a very popular color. You can find a lot. If you want to just like pick your favorite red decorations and go with it, I think that's perfectly fine. Pretty low key.
Mm-hmm.
I have flower ideas for people who want something a little more feminine.
Oh, you're like hitting. You got flower ideas?
Of course.
Go. I want to hear
these.
Literally
Googled flowers for saints. So there's so many flowers for the Virgin Mary. I did not realize there were so many. I'll get to them. But if you're going for all red flowers, you've got roses, poppies, geraniums, dahlias, lilies. Red lilies are really beautiful. Amaryllis, zinnia, mums. Alstroemeria? Is that how you say that? Marigold, celosia, which looks like fire. It's just like bursting out. It's so cool. Coneflower. I love coneflowers. Some red and or some yellow and orange varieties, if you really want to mix it in there, they get like a really fiery vibe. You can totally do that too. Roses, very popular. Saint flower, Virgin Mary, Saint Rita, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, Saint Rose of Lima, Saint Cecilia, who is a saint for music. White lilies, of course. Also Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, St. Catherine, St. Anthony, a few others. And then you've got a ton for the Virgin Mary, like cyclamen, iris, jasmine, primula, beautiful, snowdrops, marigolds. This color would look beautiful with roses if you're going to mix some colors. Daisies symbolizes the innocence of the Christ child. So not totally on brand with the rest of it. But they're pretty, so I don't know.
Well, and if you like wildflowers, at least in my part of the world, the Michaelmas daisies are currently blooming.
There you go.
Along with your fiery goldenrod. However, I don't recommend decorating with goldenrod if you have people with allergies present.
Yeah.
Made that mistake once.
Oh, no. If you want to throw some greenery in there, you've got palm fronds because they symbolize martyrdom and the victory of spirit over flesh. So you can have some nice red with some palm fronds in there. Spikenard, something similar for St. Joseph. Hypericum for St. John, which is also St. John's wort. If you feel like, just don't like ingest it. Or clover. I guess that's the general rule for anything.
This is not the food portion of the episode.
We're getting there.
If your guests are eating the floral arrangements, maybe check on them because there's more than one thing wrong.
Clover, obviously, for St. Patrick, although that in the fall might be interesting. So you've got a lot of flower options if you want to just like deck the place out. Mm-hmm. That sounds really fun to me, quite honestly. If you want a more macabre, dramatic thing, fire is your theme. I mean, you've got fire for basically everything. Sure. Reformers, saints, martyrs, they all died at the stake. You can do whatever you want with a fire theme and you'd be on point.
You should probably have like a bonfire outside.
Yes.
I'm getting to that, actually. Oh, okay. Sorry. Keep going.
And anything like red, flowy textures. You've got like garlands or bunting or like streamers hanging from your lights or whatever you want to do that's red and flowy that kind of offsets that fiery
but
theme.
But don't forget that white is also a color of saints. So white candles, these white tapers would be perfect.
Yes.
Or votives or like a mixture of different sizes and shapes of candles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you like some landscape decoration ideas, we've also like if you want to make a wall, a little landscape idea, you've got, I mean, a door with a 95 theses.
You mean you want to decorate the outside of your house with something other than giant skeletons?
Yes,
please.
A door with 95 theses. This can also become a game if you like do pin the theses on the door. That's a game you can play if you want to do that.
Nice.
My elementary school just played that. I saw it on Facebook today. That's why I know. A castle wall would be an appropriate one.
a Thuringian forest. Thank you, Andy Bates, for that idea. Of course, a DCE is going to understand decorating for this kind of thing. Roman Colosseum for the saints, martyrs, a stone walkway like in the Roman Empire. Mm. So you can think kind of Roman Empire, medieval Germany, or basically anywhere in that part of the world. Mm-hmm. You got some landscape ideas. Party favors.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yes. Bags of spiced or candied almonds, because almond has a symbol of representing divine approval or favor.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
The party favors all ended up being food.
Good.
That's a snack.
Chocolate medallions for Roman Empire history. So you've got like money, gummy worms for the Diet of Worms.
Mm.
Yes. That's always fun. If you want a non-food one, I mean, a fountain pen is might be a little expensive. This is like a bougie party, but fountain pens, because, you know, buy them on Amazon.
Wait, but why a fountain pen?
For writing.
For writing all your 95 theses.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, you could just have like a guest book with a fountain pen. Oh. And everyone who comes to your party could write a little something.
Yeah,
that's a great idea. You only have to buy one.
That's true.
You're not bougie.
That's fair. Yes.
Okay.
And then crafts.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Jolly Rancher stained glass. Also, thank you, Andy Bates.
Oh, really? I've never heard of this.
If you have
Googling
oven
right now.
Oven,
oh, my goodness.
You just like put the Jolly Ranchers together and then melt them and they melt into stained glass.
Oh, that's cool.
And like with like cookie cutter. You can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm seeing some here with like gingerbread. With Jolly Ranchers baked into the windows. You could do a Wartburg Castle out of gingerbread.
It's a
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never heard of this. I love it.
It's a five-star idea.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
If you are not inspired to do Jolly Ranchers, you can do the classic tissue paper and stained glass.
I've done that before. That's very fun.
Glass. Yeah. That one's fun. Does not require heat.
Yeah. That was, I believe, a Christmas present we gave to our godparents one year when I was a child.
Yeah.
We all made these
very kid-friendly
glass window tissues.
Yeah. Coloring pages for like illuminating the Bible, like saints long time ago used to do. So you can like have coloring pages for like.
Actually. Okay. Hang on. Sorry. We got to pause and go back because I remembered it wasn't that.
Okay.
It was. My mom had saved up baby food jars, removed the labels, and then we did the tissue paper on the outside with glue and like covered it. And then it became a little candle holder.
Yes.
And those, as I recall, have persevered. There's still some of those floating around in our family.
That's an excellent idea.
So that would be. You could still do the various colors of tissue paper.
Yeah.
So, okay, carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very many, many stained glass ideas.
Yeah.
If this is a thing that you would love to
capturing
do.
Capturing your imagination.
Yes. So coloring pages for illuminating the Bible or for Luther's rose. I mean, coloring tons of ideas for coloring pages if you have.
Absolutely.
People who love to color. And this would work for adults too. Coloring pages aren't just for kids.
Oh yeah. I love to color more than any of my kids actually.
Especially the illuminating the Bible ones. Like there's books from CPH you could have out on the table. Like lots of ideas for that. You can make the bunting that you're going to hang if you want a slightly more involved craft idea of like cutting out paper, cutting out little shapes to put on it, little symbols for each of the saints. If you want to go really all out and then string them together and hang them up. If you want to do that kind of thing, I would. I love paper crafts. So that would be fun for me. You could have buckets of Lego and build castles and a mighty fortress if you've got Lego building kind of people. Also, not just for kids.
We do. Yes. Yeah. And I love the idea of a joint Lego project.
Yes.
Because very often Lego around here, we just get the boxes out and everyone builds their own thing. But having a project to all work together on that would require some creativity and collaboration, that could be a really fun party activity.
Yeah. And everyone loves Lego.
Yeah.
So lots of ideas with Lego. And then the last craft idea I have is some sort of craft fire pit. There are lots of options.
You are just really on fire today, Sarah. And fire also fascinated with fire today, Sarah.
Fire pit. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell
so
me more.
Like little. These are little.
Okay.
My idea was to use like toilet paper rolls and then like tissue paper. going up and like put a little tea light in the middle. And then I Googled it. And there's also other ideas of like crossing craft sticks and then having little strips of colored paper and then like tying them, like laying them flat and then bringing them all up together and tying them at the top. So it kind of looks like a flame.
Interesting.
There's a few different ways to do it depending on your supplies and what you feel like doing. But there are lots of options for like building your own little fire pits. So, and then I have two bonus activities. If you're really inspired to do something a little wild and crazy. Bonfires. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll do a bonfire. The stained glass I'm going to have to work up to.
Bonfires just make a lot of sense. It's fall. It's a popular activity. If you really wanted to, you could print paper bowls and throw them into the fire. Because that would be fun. Second crazy option, and this is just really crazy. If you're a legitimate hymn nerd, you could sing hymn 518, which is by all your saints in warfare.
I don't actually have the hymnal memorized. I just remembered you shared this with us in a chat a couple days ago.
I did, and I asked if I was really crazy, and you said yes, but you may not be the only one. So I'm sharing it here. If you really want to, there are 28 stanzas of this hymn. So if you want to celebrate those good long hymns, like y'all know I love, you could sing that hymn to a different tune for every stanza because that hymn, the tune of it, has many, many variations of the meter in the hymnal. So there's a bunch of different tunes you could sing those words to. Some of them actually work really well. I sang through a bunch of them with my husband the other day. Some of them work really well. And it's actually kind of fun to sing that hymn.
For research.
It was for research.
For research.
You guys really
for
know
science.
How to like have a very romantic date, don't you?
Some of them work really well. Some of them are kind of fun. And others are horrible. So if you want to have a good time and like sing some lyrics to music that does not work, if you're that kind of person, you can have a party with your hymnal.
Do you have like a list of the songs that they could swap, like the tunes they could swap out for?
If you've never played this game before, you look down at the bottom of the hymn and you look for where it says meter, and then it will have either a letter or numbers or some set of, and you go to the back of the hymnal index of the metrical index. And you find that exact meter, like maybe it's meter D or
it's 7687. D.
What is it?
7676D.
7676D.
There's a lot of
them. And then you go to the metrical index, you find that meter, and then you look up all the numbers that have that exact same rhythmic pattern in it. This is really useful if you are in church music. And pastor wants to sing a song with lyrics that are perfect for the sermon. And you look at it and go, not only do we not know that tune, but I don't think we can learn that tune. Let's find a tune that we do know that we can sing these words to. So really useful thing for church worship planners. But
I want to know.
Also a fun party game, as Sarah has rightly pointed out.
It is a fun party game, especially when there's so many options. Some of them, there's one of them that I can't remember which other hymn it goes to, but ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, I think.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one.
It dances, and it actually kind of works if you want, like, a happier vibe, which I think is appropriate when we're talking about saints. Others have the stress on the wrong beat, so it really doesn't work, but it would be hilarious to try to sing it in a group when the stresses are on the wrong beat. So if you're up for something that isn't going to make you, because my husband was like, no, that doesn't work. So if it's not going to make you guys angry, it's kind of fun to try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stanzas and a lot of tunes. So there you go. If you're like, Sarah, you are nuts. That does not sound fun. You don't have to do it. That's fine. I would do it. But I'm a little crazy. So that is all I have.
Okay.
We have set the vibes.
Yeah. Okay, well, to set the table, I have a few suggestions. For this one, I'm sorry, I'm not carrying the whole party for you. I'm going to just give you some inspiration and get your wheels going, okay? So, first up, I felt strongly that, well, of any part of the party, if you were going to lean into the more macabre side of things. This is the side, this is the place to do that.
All right.
And so, first up, I offer to you, inspired by St. Lawrence, who announced when he was being roasted alive on the gridiron, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side."
That's my favorite saint for that reason.
I know. He actually, I like him more. That one I think is probably, like, part of me is like, did he really say that one? That one might not be. But the story that led to him being put to death is an, honestly, it's even cooler. Like, he's a cool guy.
He's a cool
dude.
He's
the one where he was like, the Roman government came and was like, you owe us a lot of money. He was a church leader. And they're like, you owe us a lot of money. You gotta turn this money over to the government. And he was like, oh, give me a little bit of time. And so they came back. Meanwhile, he had gathered up all this money and gave it to the poor people in the community. And the Roman government came back and they're like, where is the treasure? We've got to see the treasure. And he's like, I present to you the treasure of the church. And he like had all the poor people in front of him.
I love
and
it.
He was dead serious. Okay. He was dead serious.
I heard that story without him distributing treasure to the poor.
I mean,
the poor people themselves were the treasure.
Maybe, who knows?
But there's so many different variations on all these saint stories.
Were the treasure. Exactly.
Yes.
That's the true point of it.
Such a smart relic.
I love
money
it.
Money given away or not, I don't know. But anyway, it's a beautiful statement of, like, again, like shifting your perspective. The treasure isn't the money. It's these actual human souls.
It's amazing.
So, yeah, amazing. So, for St. Lawrence, you've got to grill something, okay?
You've got to grill fire.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You need something that's going to leave grill marks on the food. So, give yourself some burgers, okay? Give yourself some kebabs.
Ooh.
You could grill vegetables. That'd be fine, but you've got to grill something at this party, okay? Mm-hmm. That's important.
How about a goose?
Yeah,
grill a goose. Okay, grill
too
a
soon.
Goose.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I mean, you could.
Why is our All Saints Day party starting to look like a November 5th Guy Fawkes party?
Yeah.
It's a great time of year for bonfires.
Uh-huh. So I feel that also at the party, very much in line with Rachel's costume and the vision that her daughters had regarding vision, you need something that implies eyeballs, okay? And for this, I have two ideas that you could go. You could go either the route of, like, if it's more of a, like, you're going to eat a meal at this party, so you're having a plate. So if it's that type of party, then I suggest, like, sort of like a fruit salad that features lychee. Okay.
Ooh.
Get yourself cans.
Yeah.
At least a can of lychee. So it's a tropical fruit. If you might or might not have ever come across a fresh lychee before. They're not common here in the United States. I don't think they grow anywhere. Maybe they grow in Mexico, but other than that, nowhere in North America. But on the outside, they are one of those fruits that you're like, why do people decide to eat this?
Yeah.
But it's probably because they saw animals eating it and they're like, well, if they can eat it, we can eat it. Yeah. When you remove the hairy outside shell of the lychee fruit, you're left with a smooth white globe that is disturbingly the same. It does look a lot like an eyeball. Okay. And then in order to actually eat it, if you're eating a fresh lychee, you then have to, like, remove this hard stone that's in the center. But if you get a can of lychee, you just get the white outside.
They are pre-fitted and they are delicious.
They're delicious and they do look like eyeballs. So that would be one option. Another option you could take would be to go, you know, that candy, the Buckeye.
Yes.
Where it's like peanut butter eyeballs, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought if you wanted to just lean into it a little further, if you made Buckeyes that are normally peanut butter balls that are dipped almost all the way in chocolate so that you're left with like a lighter brown center circle spot. If you wanted to make it really look like eyeballs, then you would just dip them one more time, almost all the way covering the dark chocolate. Because, I mean, you want the dark chocolate.
Of course.
White chocolate is, it's not a, it, anyway, but you need to dip them one more time in white chocolate to give the eyeball effect. Okay, yeah. So then you're left with a white globe, a dark outer ring, and a lighter brown center. And it's going to look like an eyeball.
Yeah.
And it's great for this party. Okay.
That's because an excellent of idea.
Okay. Buckeyes. That's another option.
I mean, even though Sarah and I are both Michigan girls.
Yeah.
I love Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah.
The candy.
I love Buckeye. I was much older. I was much further along in life before I knew they were called Buckeyes because I live in Missouri and here we call them peanut butter balls or eyeball candies. But
you could
anyway.
Oh my goodness. Sorry.
I have to show you this picture. And okay, hang on. I gotta put on my glasses because I'm blind. Okay, what am I looking at?
Sorry, I just totally derailed us, but
it's
I
okay.
found this picture.
We'll get back on track, but I gotta see it. Yeah, exactly. That's the concept.
Let me see.
Concept. Okay.
Oh, marvelous. Yeah. Sarah, you'll have to share that with our listeners.
I didn't even see that, but they captured my vision. They went a little further and turned them into mummies, but still, it's
That's
the basic
not
concept.
Not necessary.
Okay? They're candy eyes.
Yeah.
They put candy eyes in the middle.
Right. Okay. Since this party also features the reformers, you should offer beer to your guests, okay? Yeah. You should offer beer.
Drink that before you sing the hymn that's 28 stanzas with different
tunes.
It's going
to loosen you up.
It'll be great.
It'll loosen you up.
Do you also need some sausage because this is a reformer thing?
That maybe would go great on the gridiron.
Yeah,
by all means.
A few bratwurst.
Sausage. Absolutely. Now, the other thing that you really should serve, and this can just be, you don't need to have like loads of it, but you should offer a jar of pickled herring, okay? Mm. In honor of our beloved sister Katie, who escaped.
Oh, yes. The herring barrel.
Okay? Excellent idea.
Pickled
I love
herring.
This.
So not everyone's going to eat it. That's okay. But
it's
love
delicious.
Pickled herring. I love it. Okay. So just have some crackers next to it and have some toothpicks so that people can fish out a fillet of pickled herring. It's great. I recommend getting the one in wine sauce. Personally, that's my favorite.
Sometimes agreed.
It also comes in sour cream, but the wine sauce is the way to go.
Yep.
Okay, so pickled herring. Finally, for heresy, I was really sort of, I struggled with this one a little bit, but then it came to me. And this is very, very regional. Okay, so I'm going to tell you that now, but I figure there's probably other regions that this is an inspiration, okay? And you're going to get your own idea when I share this one. Okay, for heresy, if you're in St. Louis having this party, you're going to offer Emo's Pizza.
Yes!
Okay? You're going to offer Emo's Pizza, which
spot on.
Sorry to everyone who likes Emo's.
The heresy, the truest false heresy of them all, and that is Provel cheese. Not
it's
provolone.
Not cheese.
It's Provel. It's a cheese product, okay? And it's an offense. It's the stone that people stumble on in St. Louis if you're not from. Okay, now I'm veering into heresy of my own. Okay, but anyway, that's what you should offer is a heretical food that is going to draw a sharp line among your party attendees. Okay, you want to have you should feel so strongly. Either you're going to absolutely love it and defend it, or you're going to absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No middle ground.
I feel like pineapple pizza is another good option here.
Yeah.
For people outside
it's
of St. Louis.
It's not as heretical.
It's not as heretical.
It's not as heterodox.
That one's more heterodox.
Heterodox.
Like I said, yeah, exactly.
But everyone has something like that. In some places, if you serve a hot dog with ketchup.
Right.
That's true.
Or a hot dog with mayonnaise.
You know your region. You know your region.
What people are going to look up at and go, no.
Don't offer that as the only thing, okay? That's not the only thing at your party. You should offer that, though. It's one item as part of the party.
Okay? That's amazing. Yeah.
It's a conversation piece. Yeah. Maybe no one will actually eat it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Except for the people who love it.
Right. Right. And you're like, heretic!
Heretic! Yeah. When you exactly. label people heretic and put a sticker on them.
Yep.
Anyone who eats the provolone.
Oh dear. Sorry for offending you right now.
Yeah. So that's what I have to offer you for food at our party.
That's okay. Brilliant.
Inspiration.
So love
inspiration.
Good.
Ugh. Love it. Okay. So I get games.
Yes. Mm.
And I would like to take this moment in the episode to point out that all of these ideas are, you can pick and choose. And maybe your party is just an All Saints Day party. Maybe your party is just a Reformation Day party.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having one that's just a heresy party.
Yeah, that would be.
But maybe it's saints and reformers. Maybe you leave the heretics out because you don't want to serve Emo's pizza at your party.
Right. It's true.
The you can pick and choose the ideas that you
and we've
feel.
Given you enough material too that this can become your annual tradition and you don't need to do it all in the first party. Okay,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. So I've got some games here.
Okay.
And one of them is an icebreaker. So the first one is the just guess the person icebreaker game. This is a pretty standard icebreaker. And you can do it one or two ways. You can instruct people when they come in with their costumes not to tell anybody what they are. And you have to ask questions about them to guess who their costume is.
That's fun.
And so everyone would have like a sheet of like, you're going to write down when first person to figure out who everybody's costume is and confirm it, you know, will be the winner. However, another way to play this game doesn't require any costumes whatsoever, or if there's a really obvious costume, you know, you won't get a freebie with this. And this is the post-it note game, where you write down a different person, whether you're doing saints or reformers or whatever, on the back of on a post-it note, and then everybody at the party gets one slapped on their back.
Yes. I
love And then they have to go around and ask people
find out who you
questions
are.
And find out who they are.
Yeah.
And that could be a really fun thing and a way for people to sort of refresh their memories on who some of these people are. Of course, you'd have to make sure that you tailored your list to the party that is actually coming.
It's true.
Make them people that they can and will guess.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have some very educated Lutheran friends out there, and maybe the sky's the limit for some of these.
I really want to play that in this office building.
That would be fun.
Can you imagine a post-it note guess who I am game one day?
That would be
great. Oh yeah,
I can do that one in HR.
Okay.
For good reasons.
Yeah, because you need it. Everybody needs a good icebreaker.
That sounds
fun. That kind of game gets everyone moving around and talking to each other. You can't really form cliques when you are assigned to figure out, you know, the whole room or you need to ask lots of people questions about who you are.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. The other two games I have, the first one is a twist on two truths and a lie. So in this, the classic icebreaker game, each person is responsible for telling two things that are true about themselves and one thing that is not true. And ideally, all three things should be somewhat unbelievable.
Yeah.
Kind of out there. And then the rest of the party is in charge of debating and figuring out which of those three things is not true. So the version of this that you could play, especially if you were doing saints, heretics, and reformers, is a game that I'm calling Two Doctrines and a Heresy.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah. So you would then have two things that are that fit with Orthodox doctrine and one thing that is a subtle heresy. Mm. And you got to figure out which it is. Now, I actually have five questions in this game cooked up for you all to try. So we can actually get a little taste of two doctrines and a heresy. And I really hope I get these right. I am not a trained systematic theologian. Sarah, thank you for going to seminary so that one of us can be.
I'm only one class in and it wasn't systematic. I don't get that till I don't know when, but it's a
I'm sorry. Okay, but I've done my best, you know, based largely on our heresy trivia episode. And so we'll see if you can pinpoint which of these three is heretical.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Question one about scripture. A, the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. B, the Bible is inerrant in its original texts. C, the Bible contains God's word.
C is heresy.
Yeah. This is what we, because it's a subtle thing. Heresy is always subtle.
It's historical critical method. I just had an entire thing in one of my classes on this.
Or in my only class. In my class.
The Orthodox, small o Orthodox, right, the correct view on this is that the Bible is God's word. When you start saying things like the Bible contains God's word, then that means that part of the Bible is God's word, and part of it might not be, and you get to pick and choose which or which.
See what you're doing with the subtleness. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. Heresy is always sneaky. All right, number two. Yeah. Let's talk about the flesh, shall we?
Oh, boy. Mm.
A, Jesus was the only human to live a sinless life in the flesh. Okay. B, our fleshly lusts are evil, and we should therefore strive to be more spiritual. C, moreover, we should abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against our souls. Where's the heresy?
B.
B, yep, very good. Which heresy? Gnostic, it's Gnostic.
Yay!
So A, of course, is we have a scriptural support for that in the book of the Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews. And C comes straight out of 1 Peter 2, verse 11.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But B, this idea that there is this contrast between the corporeal, the fleshly, and the spiritual, and that flesh is necessarily evil, and that spiritual is necessarily good. There's your classic Gnostic heresy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And number three. Well, let's go into Christology, shall we?
Oh, boy.
A, Jesus is the Son of God. B, the Son was created before all things. C, all things were created by him and through him.
B.
Oh, yeah, that one was easier to spot.
Yeah, that one was.
That is Arianism, the idea that Jesus is not, he is not co-eternal, not fully divine, but was the first of God's created beings.
Yeah.
All right, number four, let's talk about human nature.
Right.
A, children are born innocent and grow old enough later to understand and consciously disobey God's law. B, sin is disobedience and rebellion against God. C, Christ died to save sinners.
Wow.
A.
All right, yeah, nothing subtle about this one. This one is classic Pelagianism, the idea that people are born basically good and that hypothetically we could all choose not to sin.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be interesting?
All right, last one. On the ministry. A, pastors are ordained to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments. B, pastors are called to hold the true faith and adorn their ministries with a holy life. C, when pastors fall into unrepentant sin or heresy, the sacraments they administer become invalid.
C.
Yeah. C, that would be Donatism right there.
Oh, yes.
Where there was this, in the years following the persecution, a mass persecution in the Roman Empire, there was this question of, if you were baptized by a pastor who then went on and you know, failed to stand firm in his faith under persecution, does that mean your baptism is invalid?
Mm-hmm.
An important question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is basically how you play two doctrines and a heresy.
Uh-huh.
It's a great idea, I think, for starting conversations and doing some sort of educating at the same time. Maybe don't play this game if you are having a party involving a bunch of different denominations.
Yeah.
Because some of those it would definitely be a conversation starter. And, you know, all the heresies that I brought out in my game are ones that were established during the early years of the church. So I think we all agree on them, but you never know. You never know when somebody is not quite on the same page with you.
Yeah.
Okay, the last game that would really be fun to play, I think, because I love trivia, you know this, is a classic game of pub trivia.
I love it.
Yes.
Where you divide everyone up into teams, and each of them has a sheet of paper, and you ask various rounds of questions. They talk amongst themselves. They put their answers on the papers. You collect them all and then award prizes to the winning team. And one of the keys with pub trivia, I have learned, is to make sure that the questions are not out of reach for people.
Mm.
It's way more fun if the questions are challenging, but not stumpers.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that if you can incorporate some different kinds of categories to bring out different kinds of brains, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In this case, I have three rounds of pub trivia for you, one on saints, one on heresies, and one on reformers.
Okay.
Right.
And actually, since you guys are so well educated, hang on, I got to rewrite one question at the end here.
Oh, no.
No.
Rewriting it to make it harder.
Well, no, rewriting it because Sarah already shared the answer to one of them.
Oh,
sorry.
We do not have access to these.
Nope.
Full disclosure. It's in a separate document, so we couldn't snoop.
Okay, one of the questions you're going to get, because we've already answered it, and I just don't have the mental brain power to rewrite that section
right
now.
That's fine. So that's fine.
That's okay. These are not supposed to be hard. Don't. Mm-hmm. This is not stump your friends time. This is make your friends feel smart. Like,
exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay, so pub trivia. Round one, saints.
Mm-hmm.
Which saint allegedly slapped the heretic Arius?
Nicholas.
Nicholas. Nicholas.
Yeah.
Question B. Which saint famously quipped, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side"?
Lawrence!
Which two sisters in Christ, not actual sisters, were famously martyred together?
Perpetua?
Felicity.
Yes, Perpetua and Felicity. Which saint escaped years of slavery only to return and win his captives for Christ?
Oh,
Patrick.
Patrick.
Patrick. Yes, Patrick.
Yes.
Which saint penned the Epistle to the Hebrews?
We don't know.
Oh, yeah, it's a mysterious.
We don't know. It's a trick question.
The author of Hebrews.
The author of Hebrews.
Yeah.
All right, that's your saint round. Let's go into heresies now.
Okay.
Which heresy denied the co-eternal divinity of Christ?
See, these are harder.
Wasn't that, Arian? Wasn't that
Arianism? Yeah, we've been over all of these just recently, so you're welcome.
You just did it. It's fresh in my brain. Okay.
Which heresy taught that bodily life is really yucky?
Gnosticism.
Which heresy taught that human beings are basically good?
Is that Pelagian?
Yep.
Okay.
Nice.
This one is a hard one. You might not get this one because we haven't covered it. Which heresy read the book of Genesis allegorically?
Oh, it's one of the A's, isn't it?
Mm, it starts with a vowel.
Epicureanism.
That's a philosophical system, but also probably heretical. It was Originism.
Origin.
So Origin. Oh, he was one of those guys who was like right about most things and wrong about a few things.
I know, but it's still like it's the name.
Yeah, no, you're right.
It's, how ironic.
Now I'm going to remember that.
Okay, and finally, which statement of faith was crafted to combat one or more of these heresies?
Nicene Creed.
Nicene Creed. You got it.
Nicene.
Mm-hmm. All right, rounding the home stretch. Some of these will be also very familiar. Sorry. We got reformers.
Perfect.
Elizabeth Kreuziger.
Yes.
No.
A. Which Bohemian reformer was burned at the stake 100 years before Luther came along?
John the Goose.
John
the
Goose. Yes. Which questionable fundraising strategy did Luther's 95 Theses take issue with?
Papal bulls.
Nope.
Wait. No.
Indulgences.
Indulgences.
Yeah.
Wrong Reformation term.
Sarah, the question I deleted was, what did Luther do with his papal bull?
Burned it in the fire.
That's funny.
All right. Which political figure famously protected Luther after the Diet of Worms?
Frederick the Wise?
Frederick the Wise.
Yes.
Also except Frederick of Saxony.
Mm-hmm.
All right. D, who wrote the Augsburg Confession?
Melanchthon or Luther?
Melanchthon.
Melanchthon, Luther's pet nerd. Yes.
Oh, but the unaltered Augsburg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That was a trick question because I thought you'd say Luther first, but I was like, no, he didn't actually write that. He handed the job over to Melanchthon, who he thought had a keen theological mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. What were Luther's last words?
I'm a beggar.
This is true.
We are beggars. This is true.
Hey, oh, close enough.
Hey.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
We are beggars.
This is true.
Nice. So yes, this party would be a fantastic opportunity to cook up some pub trivia to share with your friends and together with your wackadoodle hymn sing and your beer and sausages and herring and eyeballs.
Yeah, and
there's
you know
so
what?
Many things
if you're
here.
Able, if you did the trivia thing, it would be really cool if like you had some extras so that once you saw everyone's costumes, you could make sure that like everyone's costume was referenced in a trivia question.
That would great. Be
so fun. Like you take some last minute adjustments potentially, mm-hmm. but that would be a fun addition to the game.
A final pub trivia round that paid tribute to everyone's costume choices. I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we got. Next time you are just on the fence of, do I have a Halloween party? Do I not have a Halloween party? Mm-hmm. Guess what? You don't choose.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. You can have a party and you can do awesome things and laugh a lot and eat good food. And drown in red flowers. Don't eat the flowers, though.
Don't eat the flowers.
You can wear your costumes. You can have your eyeball gummies.
And worms.
And give thanks to God for his saints, for his reformers, and for the way he has always protected his church against false teaching.
Yeah.
Because it's a good thing.
This has been so fun.
Yes.
An excellent party. So, ladies, we want to know if you happen to use any of these ideas already or have even more ideas to add to the list of things for saints, reformers, and heretics. It would be really fun to have even more ideas. You can share those with us in the Lutheran Ladies Lounge Facebook group or on our Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. We would love that. Or pictures of your own parties, because we know some of you are throwing some epic parties this year. Share those with us. You can find all of our episodes at kfuo.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Elizabeth Crusier.
I'm a hoose.
And I'm St. Lucy of the Eyeballs.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at kfuo.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give.